Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 Joycast. In this Joycast, you'll hear a summary of the weekly program. Due to copyright restrictions, the music has been edited to make this Joycast possible. For more information about the music played during the show, please visit the blog at joy.org.au/The Fool and the Opera.
Good evening and welcome to The Fool and the Opera on Joy 94.9. And Happy New Year to everyone. I'm Paul Williamson, The Fool and the Opera blog reviewer, and I'm your summer host, sitting in for Dan Vo for the month of January. Thanks to Vito, Bill and special guest Michael for behind the scenes, Gary for reading the news, and Michael who's here doing the panels. I'm very pleased to see. This week's show is entitled Devastating Duos, Bel Canto Magic, and More of Melbourne's Mr. Music. We're going to play some duets and hear the final part of the interview which I recorded in December with Peter Birch, Music Aviva's Victorian concert manager and the opera reviewer in Melbourne for The Australian. First up, though, is the quirky track. Now, if you are listening to Behind the Scenes, you will have heard a mention of Stephen Sondheim. It won't come as a surprise if you saw my review of Stephen Sondheim and Hugh Wheeler's A Little Night Music on our blog site, which is at joy.org.au/The Fool and the Opera, that I'm a card-carrying Stephen Sondheim fanatic. To me, he is a musical god, up there with Verdi, Puccini and Mozart. Back in 1964, Sondheim wrote a show with Arthur Lawrence, which had a very short Broadway run. In fact, it was a big failure. However, it contains some very memorable and interesting songs. Marina Pryor sang one of them at a New Year's Eve concert I attended this week. The show was called Anyone Can Whistle, and the song we're about to hear was the original 11 o'clock number. The big confrontation scene towards the end of the show between the two leading ladies, Mayoress Cora Hoover Hooper and Nurse Faye Apple. Here are Kay Ballard and Sally Mays with There's Always a Woman.
A knife would be perfect.
A gun would be perfect.
It's quick and it's quiet.
At least I could try it.
I hear they do wonders.
And you can do wonders.
With poisonous gas.
With slivers of glass.
There's always the quarry.
There's always curare.
She'd never be found.
I have some around.
A noose is efficient.
Bamboo is efficient.
She won't make a sound.
As long as it's ground.
Whatever will do it.
Whatever will do it.
If anything will.
If anything will.
There's nothing as low as a woman.
I'm Paul Williamson, and that was Kay Ballard and Sally Mays with There's Always a Woman from the Stephen Sondheim show Anyone Can Whistle. The song was actually cut out of the show during out-of-town tryouts in Philadelphia, but made a memorable comeback in the Sondheim compilation review Putting It Together, versions of which have featured Julie Andrews and Carol Burnett. And one of Carol Burnett's co-stars on Broadway was the super delicious and openly gay John Barrowman, star of TV's Torchwood. There's a great DVD of that performance, which includes a blooper where Carol Burnett loses her skirt. And if you were thinking that the name Kay Ballard is ever so vaguely familiar, she starred opposite Eve Arden in a 60s sitcom called The Mothers-in-Law. She also appeared on The Doris Day Show between 1970 and 1972, and she played Hattie in a 1998 revival of Sondheim's Follies. She is a breast cancer survivor who has never married, and she recently completed her autobiography, How I Lost 10 Pounds in 53 Years. Our first legitimate track tonight comes from an opera by Bellini. Generally regarded as Bellini's greatest work, it's Norma. The opera is set in Roman-occupied Gaul around 50 BC. Norma is a high priestess of the Druids. Pollione has secretly become Norma's lover and fathered two children. But he's met a novice priestess, Adalgisa, and fallen for her. Adalgisa confesses to Norma that she has fallen in love and asks to be released from her vows. But when Norma discovers that it is Adalgisa loves Pollione, she flies into a rage. To prevent her children being transported to Rome, Norma considers killing them, but can't carry it out. Pollione is caught inside a temple, and Norma takes a dagger to execute him, but once again can't finish the deed. She threatens to execute Adalgisa, but Pollione offers his own life instead. Norma calls her people together and announces that a priestess has betrayed her vows. It is herself, and she asks to be burned at the stake. Pollione joins her, and the couple are burnt to death. From Act One of Bellini's Norma, here are Dame Joan Sutherland as Norma and Montserrat Caballé as Adalgisa to sing Ah, si fa core abbracciami. You're on Melbourne's gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9. You're on The Fool and the Opera on Joy 94.9. In that aria, Norma agrees to free Adalgisa from her vows. Adalgisa is delighted and sings Say That Again, such wonderful words. An opera that, to my mind, contains some of the most beautiful operatic music ever written. Bellini's Norma. From Bellini to Rossini, some more bel canto. Rossini's version of the Cinderella story is entitled La Cenerentola. Cenerentola is at the beck and call of her two stepsisters. Being of generous nature, she gives food to a beggar who turns out to be the tutor to the prince Ramiro. The tutor, Alidoro, reports to the prince that one of Don Magnifico's daughters is a worthy and beautiful woman. Ramiro, disguised as his own valet, Dandini, visits Don Magnifico's household, and the prince and Cenerentola are instantly attracted to one another. Let's hear William Matuzzi as Ramiro and Alessandro Corbelli as Dandini with Zitto Zitto, Piano Piano from Act One of Rossini's La Cenerentola. You're on The Fool and the Opera.
Si dà, se ne sposi, pur di vole, seguitiamo a recitare, recitare. Sa come bere, bandero, ale, ma conviene dissimulare.
Se ne sposi,
sa bere,
di vole,
bandero, ale. Sono mis,
piano, 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 piano,
insolenza.
Zitto, 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 zitto,
i capricci.
Alidoro mi dicea,
e qualità, e maestro, grande sto.
You're on The Fool and the Opera on Joy 94.9. I'm Paul Williamson. And that was William Matuzzi as Ramiro and Alessandro Corbelli as Dandini with Zitto Zitto, Piano Piano from Act One of Rossini's La Cenerentola. That recording also features Cecilia Bartoli as Cenerentola. It's a 1993 recording conducted by Riccardo Cailli. That's Cailly. Amazingly quick and vibrant singing. Now, I'd like to say hi to Michael and the Wagner Gang. I enjoyed a very enjoyable lunch at Michael's new home today. Thank you very much indeed, Michael. Okay, we're listening to Rossini. Let's hear another Rossini track. The celebrated tenor Juan Diego Flores will be celebrating his 37th birthday on January the 13th. He was born in Lima, Peru, and in 2007 he received his country's highest decoration, the Gran Cruz de la Orden del Sol del Perú. His breakthrough came in 1996 at the Rossini Festival in the Italian city of Pesaro, Rossini's birthplace. At the age of 23, he stepped in to take the leading tenor role in Matilda de Chabran when Bruce Ford became ill. He made his debut at La Scala Milan in the same year as the Chevalier Danois in Gluck's Armide. And his Covent Garden debut followed in 1997 when he sang the role of Count Potocki in a production of Donizetti's Elisabetta. This February, he will perform in The Daughter of the Regiment for the New York Met. And in this duet, he shares the limelight with another celebrated tenor, Placido Domingo, who will turn 69 on January the 21st. From Rossini's Otello, Juan Diego Flores and Placido Domingo with A Vienni. You're on The Fool and the Opera on Joy 94.9, and we just heard Juan Diego Flores and Placido Domingo with A Vienni from Rossini's Otello, not to be confused with Verdi's Otello. Rossini's Otello deviates quite heavily from Shakespeare's original. It takes place in Venice rather than Cyprus, and the dramatic conflict develops in a different manner. The role of Iago is reduced to some degree and is much less diabolical than in the original or in Verdi's version. Rossini's Otello was an important milestone in the development of opera as musical drama. It is credited as providing Verdi with a benchmark for his own adaptations of Shakespeare. And speaking of drama, I've seen two excellent films over the last week. New Zealand director Jane Campion's new film Bright Star, which features a fabulous central performance from Abby Cornish, the young Australian actor, and Nowhere Boy, which tells the story of the young John Lennon. And that also features excellent central performances from Aaron Johnson, Anne-Marie Duff, and the absolutely wonderful Kristen Scott Thomas. Okay, if you are listening to the show on the 13th of December, you will have heard part of an interview that I recorded with Peter Birch. Let's rejoin that interview right now. You're on The Fool and the Opera on Joy 94.9. I'm Paul Williamson, and I'm here with Peter Birch, who is the Melbourne Opera Reviewer for the Australian newspaper, and he's also the Victorian Concert Manager for Music Aviva. Now, Peter, we've mentioned Opera Australia, but do you think that Melbourne is well served for opera, given that Opera Australia visits twice a year? We've got Victorian Opera up and running, and there's also Melbourne Opera and a few other smaller companies. Do you think we're well served?
Well, there's a lot of opera happening. There's not a lot of top-level opera happening. So if what you're talking about is the amount of opera, yes, we're well served. If what you're talking about is performances that you would give a year of your life to hear, you're going to live a long while.
You've travelled widely overseas. How do you think Opera Australia compares with, say, some of the more renowned places like, say, Covent Garden or the Met or, well, you know, Vienna Staatsoper?
Yeah, Chicago.
Yeah.
At its best, it's absolutely up there with them.
Yep.
And that's what's so irritating when they don't do it, because you know they can, and they, you know, they fluff it. They don't do it. And it makes me furious.
And do you think it's lack of resources, or is it wrong? Are they selecting wrong directors, or where do you think they're going wrong?
Well, casting's obviously always a problem. And who can afford the stellar singers? I can remember 20, 25 years ago I was in Germany as a guest of the then West German government. And at that stage, Carreras was at the pinnacle of his career. And I think we were told he was seeking a performance fee of 40,000 US tax-free a performance.
Wow.
A long time ago. And the major houses, the six major houses in Germany, got together and said, we are not going to hire this man. We refuse to pay that fee.
Yeah.
It's usurious. And so they didn't. I guess one of the things that it's always terrific to do is, such as the opera did with, Australian opera, did with people like Leona Mitchell, you know, terrific singer. And they brought her out quite regularly, and she had the opportunity of, in a sense, preparing performances of repertoire she didn't otherwise have. And so we got to hear her absolutely fresh in those roles and growing in those roles and characterizations and singing like an angel. And then she'd go off and sing them at the Met or the Garden or wherever. And that was always a great treat. And there are wonderful singers who've come up through Opera Australia and the Australian Opera. John Wegner, who sang with the Melbourne Symphony recently, he did Wotan's Farewell. A staggering voice. You know, there was this orchestra making a huge sound, and he just cut through them like a hot knife through butter. It was thrilling to hear. And, I mean, at the end of it, you just wish to God you were hearing the whole of Die Walküre, really, rather than just one, you know, aria or one scene. So it's not as though we don't have good singers around. Yvonne Kenny,
yes.
Terrific singer.
Yes.
People like Emma Matthews. To have watched her grow from being little Emma License from Perth to being a startlingly impressive singer.
And she's making her Covent Garden debut next year.
Yeah, well, lucky them.
Yes, yes, I agree.
And I think that recording she made in Monte Carlo is just spectacular.
Yes, I actually played a track from that on last week's show. That was the Ophelia's Mad scene.
Ah, yes. Mm. My favourite track on that is Calvin Bowman's song, Touch the Air Softly.
Well, I think I might have to play that in the new year.
It is just beautiful.
Thank you.
Absolutely beautiful.
Thank you for that tip, Peter.
A Melbourne composer.
Yes.
Living in the Dandenongs.
Now, Peter, are there particular opera composers or works in the operatic repertoire which rarely, if ever, get an outing that you'd like to see performed?
As a broad response, no, really. Mm-hmm. I don't have much of a sense at all that there are unjustly neglected operas lying there waiting to be found. It happens every now and then, and it's thrilling when it does. And it's good to hear them, and then to decide whether you ever want to hear them again. But it's my sense that most of the things that aren't regularly performed are justifiably neglected. When I was in Germany, as I was saying to you before, they were saying that there had been a list done about, 60 or 70 years earlier of the 10 most performed operas in Germany at that time. And they'd done a list quite recently before we were there in Germany, meeting all these opera house intendants. And essentially the list was the same. There'd been some juxtaposition of placement, but it was Carmen and it was Bohème and it was, Aida and Traviata, Trattoria, Figaro.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very predictable.
Yeah.
And the reality is great operas are great operas.
Absolutely.
Forever.
Absolutely. Yes, forever and ever. All right, let's go to your fourth track. It's Verdi's Don Carlo. Which track have you selected here, Peter?
This is a duet that comes very early in the first act. And on this recording, it's sung by José Carreras when he had a voice. Recorded in 1978, so a long time ago, 31 years ago.
About the same time you started doing opera reviews for The Australian.
It was. In fact, that year, he must have known. And the person with whom he's singing the duet is Piero Cappuccilli, baritone. And it's a thrilling recording of Don Carlo with the chorus of the Deutsches Oper Berlin, the Berlin Philharmonic again, and von Karajan again. And it's wildly atmospheric, and the singing, you know, the solo work and duet work of the two of them is absolutely wonderful.
Fabulous. Okay, let's hear the Act One duet from Verdi's Don Carlo. You're on The Fool and the Opera. You're on The Fool and the Opera on Joy 94.9. I'm Paul Williamson, and I'm here with Peter Birch, Victorian Concert Manager for Music Aviva and the Melbourne Opera Reviewer for The Australian. Wow, Peter, that was pretty good. Verdi's Don Carlo.
It's a stunner, isn't it?
Yeah, fabulous stuff. Now, final question, or close to the final question, What has been the best performances that you can remember seeing here in Melbourne over the years? And tell me a little bit about those performances. Oh,
they go back a long way, really. Seeing Murray Collier and Tito Gobbi in Tosca.
What year are we talking?
Oh, we'd have to be talking 30 years ago or more. They were amazing. He was the great Scarpia of his day all over the world. And here he was in Melbourne at the Princess Theatre with Murray Collier, who'd had, you know, at that stage herself, a great international career, and they clearly knew each other and performed fabulously together. And it was a startling performance, absolutely startling. Other things that have been thrilling was the Meistersinger.
Mm-hmm.
That I think we borrowed from the Hamburg Opera or from a German company.
And that was Bruce Martin sang Hans Sachs?
Yes.
Yes. I believe there was a standing ovation for at least one of the performances here in Melbourne, which is very rare indeed.
Yes. Well, it was an incredibly beautiful production. And then Simone Young did it when she was with the company. I saw it in Sydney. I don't think it came to Melbourne.
No.
But again, it was absolutely beautiful. The Lady Macbeth of Dance we were talking about, I think that's one of the best things I've ever seen OA do, as was the Otello of two or three years ago.
Yes, with
the
Jonathan Summers as Iago.
Yeah. I just think that's Verdi's masterpiece. I mean, for me it is.
Yeah.
Its distillation of Othello, holding together all the things that are staggeringly wonderful about the play and then heightening them so brilliantly with the music. And then the staging by Harry Kupfer was absolutely crazy.
Those stairs.
With a bomb and drop through them. It was an incredible production. I know a lot of people hated it, but I thought it was, you know, a leap of the imagination in the best sense. And one of the things I've seen this year, which is one of the most surprising performances I've ever seen in my life, was when the Heidelberg Choral Society in the Preston Town Hall did Turandot.
Really?
With Matthew Toogood conducting, who's a very young conductor.
And who was Turandot?
Maggie Haggett, Margaret Haggett.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
She had a bit of a cold, or you'd never have known. She hit those notes like the bullseye. She was startling. And there was a terrific cast around her. Matthew had obviously done a lot of preparation. The chorus was terrific. There was a children's chorus. And it was just... I mean, it was one of those things you went to... I went to thinking, I'm going here because I want to see Maggie, because I adore her. And I'd never seen Matthew Toogood before, but I'd heard good things about him, and so I was interested to see what he'd be like. And the whole audience just sat there with their mouths agape, thinking, my God, you know, because I think it was getting two or three performances. And I went to the first, and then I had to go interstate. Otherwise, I would have gone again to the last one.
I mean, Turandot's one of those operas that if it's done well, it really works,
yeah,
doesn't it? It really
I mean, it's clearly done in concert.
Yeah.
But they'd chosen the cast well, and Maggie was just dazzling, absolutely dazzling. And then Matthew Toogood conducted the last of the performances at the Athenaeum of Melbourne Opera.
Of Tosca?
Of Tosca, a little while ago.
Was that the night Antoinette Halloran sang? Did she sing? Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
And he was terrific.
Yeah.
Absolutely terrific. Yep. And he's off to Germany. He's young.
Fabulous.
And he's straight off to Germany to learn his craft.
Yes.
And
yes.
I think he'll come back a very, very successful conductor.
Good to hear. We need more young conductors,
absolutely,
don't we?
Absolutely.
We do.
That's just a few. I mean, I'm sure if I sat down and thought about it for a week, there'd be an awful lot more.
Well, I think that's pretty good. We've covered quite a lot of ground in this interview, so I think we might wrap it up. We'll go to your final music choice, which is Der Rosenkavalier by Richard Strauss.
Yes, my favourite opera.
Why is it your favourite opera?
Because it's perfect. I think. I mean, it's certainly perfect for me. And this recording, again, with Sir Georg Scholti, I said to you before, it's not by any choice that everything seems to be Scholti and Karajan, but I'm sorry, they happen to be very good conductors. And this is a very, very famous recording with the Vienna Philharmonic and Regine Crespin, Yvonne Minton as Octavian, and Helen Donath as Sophie. And this is the great trio from the final act and final scene of the opera.
Okay, let's go.
Strauss's love affair with the female voice gone mad.
The final of the Act 3 trio from Der Rosenkavalier. You're on the Fool and the Opera. Wow, Peter, that was fabulous.
Enough to make you believe in God.
Absolutely. That was the Act 3 trio from Richard Strauss's Der Rosenkavalier. We heard the voices of Regine Crespin, Yvonne Minton and Helen Donath. Peter Birch, thank you very much for coming in and sharing your insights into opera with me. It's been a real pleasure.
It's been a joy to be here with you. Thanks for the chance of proselytizing.
Well, and I'm hoping that you might agree to come back in maybe about 12 months' time and we could do it all again.
If I'm alive, then I'd love to.
Peter Birch, thank you very much. You're on The Fool and the Opera on Joy 94.9. And I hope you did enjoy my interview with Peter Birch. And I hope you've all had a fun time over the Christmas New Year period. I certainly did. I managed to get out of Melbourne for a couple of days with my wonderful partner Anthony and my very good friends Heather and Ross. And I would like to dedicate tonight's final track to them. I'd also like to thank Tony and Mark for their hospitality on New Year's Eve. Well, we've had a feast of same-sex duets tonight, along with that glorious trio from Der Rosenkavalier. So let's finish with a duet which features a man and a woman. It's the Australian coupling of tenor Rosario Lespina and the soprano Antoinette Halloran. Here they are with O Lovely Maiden from La Bohème. You're on The Fool and the Opera. You're on The Fool and the Opera on Joy 94.9. I'm Paul Williamson, and that was Antoinette Halloran and Rosario Lespina with O Lovely Maiden from Act 1 of Puccini's La Bohème. That's just about all the time we've got this week. David will be along very shortly with Bent Notes. Dan Vo and I will be back next Sunday with a show about castrati and cross-dressing. So, as Rosario Lesbina might say, we'll see you next time. Same Fledermouse time, same Fledermouse channel. This has been The Fool and the Opera.
Thanks for listening to the Joycast of The Fool and the Opera from Joy 94.9. You can find more Joycasts and the program blog at joy.org.au/The Fool and the Opera. The Fool and the Opera is produced by Dan Vo and Jed Gilbert. Thanks to the support of Joy sponsors and members. Please help support it by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.